But let's go ahead and get started. Our next presenter is going to be Kelly Thorpe talking about some geospatial data with Cochrane. Thank you.
Okay, good morning. I'm Kelly Thorpe from USDA ARS Maricopa, Arizona, and my work on geospatial data and integrating that with simulation models for cotton. I'll be presenting that now. This talk has much to do with precision agriculture, and we have done a few field experiments at our site where we've really monitored geospatially the different processes happening. So we have spatial texture maps, we have soil moisture data site specifically across the field, we have remote sensing images of the crop growth, and we have yield maps for cotton that we've generated. My work involves working with information technologies like cropping system models, using computational approaches to integrate data into those models, using geographic information systems to manage the geospatial data, with the ultimate goal of developing decision support tools for precision agriculture irrigation management. The objectives here in the talk will be to demonstrate a tool that I use for managing geospatial data in site-specific zones across the field, combining that data with simulations, and then using the model to evaluate alternatives for site-specific irrigation schedules. This maps out the field that we the field study that we conducted in both 2009 and 2011 at our location in Maricopa. There were 16 treatments, 16 cotton borders, which are about 12 rows of cotton across by 160 meters long. They're surface irrigated, so each one of these borders is irrigated individually, and they're hydrologically isolated. We had four different irrigation scheduling approaches that we used to manage water for these irrigation treatments. One was FAO 56 standard approach using FAO 56 crop coefficients. The blue treatment called MAC is just what the MAC farm advisor would advise for other cotton fields on the farm. Whenever those were irrigated, then the blue treatments were irrigated. And then there are two other treatments that were based on remote sensing images of the entire area, and those images used to calculate crop coefficients and used in water balance approaches on a geospatial level to make the decision on when to irrigate. The black circles represent locations of neutron probes where we measured soil moisture, and soil texture was collected from samples at the open circles. So a lot of geospatial data was generated from these experiments. We have soil texture at 6 depths down to 180 centimeters, and that was measured at 191 locations across the field. Those data were used with pitot transfer function to calculate the input parameters for soil water limits as required by the model. And then a Kriging interpolation was used to summarize those texture measurements within each zone. We had soil moisture measured at 112 different locations, which were useful for initial soil water measurements and also for making an observation of both ET and seepage. Irrigation management data was unique because we had different irrigation treatments with different rates and different dates, which were unique per each border. And we used advance and recession timers to actually measure the advance of the surface irrigation flow so we could get an idea of variability and infiltration across the length of the border. Monthly basis, we collected remote sensing data, including NDVI and canopy temperature. Minimal plant data was collected, and to get a site-specific yield map, we measured the picked the cotton within 320 unique zones, and each samples from those harvests were ginned separately, giving us a spatial yield map. So I like to use quantum GIS for data analysis, and this shows the data layers loaded into the Quantum GIS software. Again, we just have the 16 borders. You can see the 320 smaller rectangles, which are the where the yield was measured. So the map is currently showing yield for 2009. Again, green circles where neutron probes were. So one of the first steps of the work was to, within each of the 320 zones, summarize all of the geospatial data that would need to be passed to a simulation model. That includes soil texture measurements down to a depth of, I think I used about 10 layers of soil texture for which I used to calculate drained upper limit, lower limit, saturated hydraulic conductivity, and other things. So all those were specified uniquely for each of the 320 zones. Also, the irrigation rates were specified uniquely, and initial soil water conditions. I developed a tool called geospatial simulation, which manages the simulation model uniquely within each of the 320 zones. So this is a tool that can be downloaded for QuantumGIS and installed as a plugin. It's useful for managing geospatial data and for conducting simulations. The way that it works is essentially the user develops a template file which tells the GIS how to take data from the attribute table of the GIS and put it into an input file that the model can read. A simulation is conducted, generates some output. An instruction file then searches that output file and brings data to be mapped back into the GIS. I use crop grow cotton. It's part of the DSAT family of crop growth models for the simulation. The model simulates both development and growth. Development is based on photothermal time, and the key growth stages like first leaf and first flower are simulated. The model simulates the growth of the plant as an elliptical hedgerow canopy, so the height and the width of the canopy is simulated. Photosynthesis is calculated at the leaf level using biochemistry equations developed by Farquhar in the 80s. And also growth and maintenance respiration calculations are done explicitly and subtracted from the potential carbon available. Finally, soil water and nitrogen deficits further reduce the amount of carbon available for assimilation into the plant. The model also simulates water balance using a tipping bucket approach based on Ritchie and a layered soil profile. And there are several choices for simulating ET for calculating reference evapotranspiration. So I parameterized the model for each zone, for each of those 320 zones. It was done this way. Again, the soils were specified site-specifically, so each zone had unique soil properties. The weather was all the same across the whole field, and the weather data came from an Azmet station that was near our field. Some of the crop parameters were calibrated the same for all the zones based on general observations of phenology, including emergence dates, anthesis dates, and dates where we observed open bowl. And we had minimal growth observations to document what biomass LAI were at certain points in the season and also yield at the end of the season. Irrigation management was parameterized as it was applied. This was a difficult thing to quantify since it was surface irrigation, but we used our advance and recession time data as well as our Windsurfer tool, which is a simulation model for surface irrigation, and neutron probe data to try to come up with the amount of the depth of irrigation water that infiltrated at each location across the field. The next step was then to calibrate the model uniquely for each of the 320 zones using the geospatial data that was collected. And the tool includes a simulated annealing optimization that can be used for this purpose. Five parameters were optimized uniquely for each zone. One parameter governs the specific leaf area in the model, one related to plant height, one related to root growth. This XFRT is the fraction of growth that is partitioned to the bowl directly on a particular day. And EO ratio acts like a maximum crop coefficient within the model. So we have parameters that govern both the crop growth part of the model and the water balance of the model, those being optimized uniquely for each zone. So what's the objective for the optimization? We used four measurements, and we developed a objective function that includes multiple criteria to fit this model uniquely for each zone. Leaf area index, plant height, cotton yield, and the evapotranspiration estimated from the neutron data was used in this objective function to calibrate the model uniquely in each zone. Here are the results for measured LAI, height, yield, and ET in 2009 and 2011. You can see that with this optimization approach that controls both the crop growth and the hydrologic component of the model, we're able to essentially fit the model to the conditions of each zone uniquely. These would be the parameters that were that resulted from the optimization, the five parameters that were adjusted. We had different values in each zone because we ran the optimization uniquely in each year. So after we calibrate the model, we'd like to apply it to something. And irrigation management is, of course, for this study, an interesting objective. So we took the calibrated model and then simulated different irrigation management practices by just adjusting the irrigation rates from 50% to 130% of the actual rates that were applied using an increment of 1%. We did it uniquely for each of the management zones across the field. Then the objective was to determine the irrigation rate that optimized irrigation water use efficiency uniquely in each zone, defined as the simulated seed cotton yield in kilograms per hectare over the total amount of irrigation applied in millimeters. And this would be the result for 2009 for optimum irrigation. What's plotted is a percentage from 81 to 124%. So if a percentage is greater than 100%, that means that more water than was actually applied needed to be applied to optimize irrigation water use efficiency. And if the value is lower than 100, then less water than was actually applied optimized the water use efficiency. What we see then is that for the FAO treatments, most of those zones were under-irrigated, and we knew that we under-irrigated the FAO treatment in that 09 year. The surface irrigation came from the south, so in some of these southernmost zones, the efficiency is closer to optimum because more water infiltrated there. But on the north side, all of the FAO treatments were under-irrigated. The Mac farm treatment, typically those were over-irrigated, so we had 80 to 90% of the actual irrigation rate needed to be applied to optimize irrigation water efficiency in those treatments. For the treatments that were managed based on NDVI, those treatments were closer to optimum, so the remote sensing approach that we used for management in this particular season turned out to be pretty effective at managing water. However, in the 2011 season, the simulation model showed that for all but a few zones, most of the field was over-irrigated regardless of the irrigation treatment. So in conclusion, This study focuses in precision agriculture, where one advanced goal is to integrate real-time sensor data with computer algorithms in real time during a growing season, so we can design recommendations for site-specific irrigation management. One of the key features of this study is that we are simulating and considering both the crop component and the water component, so we can really get at that relationship between crop growth and water use so that we can optimize our crop per drop. Some bottlenecks still remain, though. Integrating this data from multiple sources is a challenge because data comes in different formats, and so just tools that can accomplish that are still weak. Model runtimes. The simulation model that I used had to be run many times in order to conduct the analysis that I've done here. It can take days, so that's still an issue. There are some ways around that. And parameter identifiability and equifinality, I didn't touch on much, but it's always a problem when you invert models like I have done, because the parameters that result from the optimization are not always unique. And I'll end there. Thank you.
Thank you. In the interest of time, we've got to move on, but let's give Kelly a hand here. Thank you.